The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up this month, accessible memes, Mojo Vision, retinal implants, Waymo, and Project Tokyo. All that is coming up this month on Tech Tips. If you spend any kind of time on any social media platform, you're going to run into memes. And as you know, memes are not the most accessible. Well, Carnegie Mellon researchers are working on that. This article comes to us courtesy of the Carnegie Mellon University Press. Carnegie Mellon researchers design a new tool making memes accessible for blind and visually impaired people. Carnegie Mellon University researchers have come up with a method that will automatically identify memes and will apply pre-written templates to add descriptive text, making them intelligible via existing assistive technologies. The six researchers came up with a system to classify and translate memes with up to 92% accuracy. Visually impaired people generally use screen readers and built-in accessibility features to help them navigate the internet. According to the study, social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter allow users to use alternative text to their images, but most users are not aware of the feature and simply do not use it. This has resulted in just 0.1% of images being accessible for visually impaired people. Cole Glasson, a PhD student at CMU's Human Computer Interaction Institute, said the basic computer vision techniques make it possible to describe the images underlying each meme. Optical character recognition techniques are used to decrypt the overlaid text, which can modify utterances of a theme, according to the reports. For each meme, it is necessary to make one template describing the image, and the overlaid text can be added for each occurrence of the meme. Glasson said that it completely depends on the memes and added that some of the visuals are more nuanced. The researchers kept in mind to look into the technology and AI to make memes more enhanced, as there are multiple Instagram accounts dedicated to creating memes for visually impaired people. Listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. You've heard of smart glasses? Well, now Mojo Vision develops augmented reality screen on a contact lens. Mojo Vision is revealing a smart contact lens with a tiny built-in display that lets you view augmented reality images on a screen. Steve Sinclair, Senior Vice President of Marketing at Mojo Vision, calls it invisible computing, a platform that displays information on what you see in a real world without requiring you to wear a huge gadget on your head. We have figured out how to take the world's most dense display, Sinclair said. We have a medical-grade contact lens, supply power, and data, and eventually we will get to the point where we've got all sorts of cool gadgets to show. The display uses micro-LEDs, a technology expected to play a critical role in the development of next-generation wearables, AR/VR, a hardware, and a heads-up display, or HUD. Micro-LEDs use 10% of the power of current LCD displays, and they have 5 to 10 times higher brightness than OLEDs. This means micro-LEDs enable comfortable viewing outdoors. MicroLens promises to deliver the useful and timely information people want without forcing them to look down at a screen or lose focus on the people and world around them. In terms of mass production, Mojo's invisible computing platform won't be ready for a while, but the prototypes are coming together. Over time, the company is striving to create lenses that look exactly like the cosmetic contact lenses that make your eyes look a different color. The lens will have tiny little displays, batteries, and other components to fit a whole computer on top of your eye. It's a rigid, gas-permeable lens, he said. It is super comfortable because it sits on the white part of your eye. That's like the hard contact lenses some people wear because they find the soft ones uncomfortable. The harder lens rests on your eye rather than on your cornea. That is, it rests on the white part of your eye rather than the part you see with. Mojo Vision plans to tailor each contact lens to fit the wearer's eyes. We want it to sit perfectly like a puzzle piece, and it doesn't rotate and it doesn't slip, Sinclair said. And that's one of the secrets that makes this whole thing work, and why anyone who's trying to do this with the soft contact lens is probably going to be miserable, because normal contact lenses are always moving around and sliding around and slipping and rotating. Mojo Vision holds patents for the development of an augmented reality, or AR, smart contact lens dating back more than a decade. The company is currently demonstrating a working prototype of the device. We've had to invent almost everything we put in the lens, Sinclair said. As you can imagine, we've invented our own display. We've invented our own oxygenation system. We've invented our own power data. We've invented our own ASUS custom chips and power management tools. We're inventing our own algorithms for eye tracking. Mojo is conducting feasibility clinical studies for R&D iteration purposes under an institutional review board. The Mojo lens is currently in the research and development phase and is not available for sale anywhere in the world. Additionally, the company is planning an early application of the product to help people with low vision through enhanced image overlays. This application of the Mojo lens is designed to provide real-time contrast and lighting enhancements, as well as zoom functionality. With its inconspicuous contact lens form factor, Mojo lens is designed to serve as a low vision aid that could remain discreet for the wearer and allow a hands-free experience while delivering enhanced functional vision to assist in mobility, reading, and sighting. The company says the Mojo lens incorporates a number of breakthroughs and proprietary technologies, including the smallest and densest dynamic display ever made, the world's most power-efficient image sensor-optimized. The Mojo lens includes the Mojo Vision 14,000 pixel per inch display, which was announced in May of 2019. The display delivers a pixel density of over 200 million pixels per inch, making it the smallest, densest display ever designed for dynamic or moving content. Mojo Vision CEO Drew Parkins said in a statement that the company's goal for invisible computing is to give you the information you want when you want it without bombarding you or distracting you with data when you don't want it. The company also announced that it is working with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration through the Ladder's Breakthrough Device Program, a volunteer program designed to provide safe and timely access to medical devices that can help treat irreversibly debilitating diseases or conditions. Mojo Vision also announced a new partnership with the Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, a Palo Alto, California-based nonprofit that offers rehabilitation services to more than 3,000 children and adults with blindness or impaired vision each year. Through the partnership, Vista Center clients will play a direct role in defining Mojo Vision's innovative technology and providing input to the company's teams of scientists and engineers. Carrie Lyle, executive director of the Vista Center, said in a statement that the technology partnership offers a chance to improve vision rehabilitation and improve the quality of life for the center's clients. In turn, the partnership will help Mojo Vision bring better, more user-friendly devices to market, contribute to vision rehabilitation, and improve the quality of life for Vista Center clients and others with similar needs. By wearing these contact lenses, people with low vision can better make out shapes such as street signs because the display recognizes what they are and visually enhances them. This kind of application is what prompted the Food and Drug Administration to put Mojo Vision on its Breakthrough Device Fast Track. By receiving Breakthrough Device designation for the development of the Mojo lens, the company will work directly with FDA experts to get feedback, prioritize reviews, and develop a final product that meets or exceeds safety regulations and standards. The company hopes people with visual impairments will be able to use the contact lenses to do everyday activities, like crossing the street. This aspect of the business also means Mojo Vision will have a medical device division. Mojo Vision has raised over $108 million in investments from NEA, the Chandra Group, Kozla Ventures, Advantech, Gradient Ventures, HP Tech Ventures, Motorola Solutions, LG Electronics, Liberty Global, Fusion Fund, and others. The company was co-founded by Perkins CTO Mike Warner and Chief Science Officer Michael Deering, and is led by a team of Silicon Valley veterans from companies such as Apple, Amazon, Google, HP, Microsoft, Motorola, Infinera, Alliant, and Marvell. The team includes medical device and optometry experts from companies like Cooper Vision, Abbott, Johnson & Johnson, Medtronic, Philips Healthcare, and Zeiss Ophthalmology. Mojo Vision was founded in late 2015 and built the first lens with a wired power and a single LED light in 2017. Then it moved to wireless power and a new optical system with the ability to focus an image on the back of a user's retina. The latest model has oxygenation built into it so you can keep it sitting on your eye comfortably for extended periods of time, Sinclair said. When the product goes into mass production, you will visit your ophthalmologist to get your eyes measured, and then Mojo Vision will cut the lens to fit the shape of your eyes. Eventually, the lens will have motion sensors like accelerometers and magnetometers so that we can do eye tracking on the eye. Sinclair added, "We're building out a medical device company. We've got the innovation of a tech company, the discipline of a medical device company, and we're pulling all of that together into one company, which is not easy." Listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. This juicy little nugget comes to us courtesy of SingularityHub.com, and it is about the first woman to use a retinal implant. It's been over a decade since artificial retinas first began helping the blind to see. But for many people, whose blindness originates beyond the retina, the technology falls short, which is why new research out of Spain skips the eye entirely, instead sending signals straight to the brain's visual cortex. Amazingly, 15 years after losing her sight, Bernardetta Gomez, who suffers from toxic optic neuropathy, used the experimental technology to recognize lights, letters, shapes, people, and even to play a basic video game sent directly to her brain via an implant. According to MIT Technology Review, Gomez first began working with researchers in late 2018. Over the next 6 months, she spent 4 days a week dialing in the technology's settings and testing its limits. The system, developed by Eduardo Fernandez, director of neuroengineering at the University of Miguel Hernandez, works like this. A camera embedded in a pair of thick, black-rimmed glasses records Gomez's field of view and sends it to a computer. The computer translates the data into electrical impulses the brain can read and forwards it to a brain implant by way of a cable plugged into a port in the skull. The implant simulates neurons in Gomez's visual cortex, which her brain interprets as incoming sensory information. Gomez receives a low-resolution depiction of her surroundings in the form of yellow dots and shapes called phosphenes, which she has learned to interpret as objects in the world around her. The technology itself is still very much in the early stages. Gomez is the first to test it, but the team aims to work with 5 more patients in the next few years. Eventually, Fernandez hopes their efforts can help return sight to many more of the world's blind people. This isn't the first time researchers have used technology to help the blind see again. Roughly 2 decades ago, the Artificial Retina Project brought together a number of research institutions to develop a device for those suffering retina-destroying diseases. The work resulted in the Argus systems, which, like Fernandez's system, use a camera mounted on glasses, a computer to translate sensory data, and an implant with an array of electrodes embedded in the retina instead of the brain. Over the course of about a decade, researchers developed the Argus 1 and Argus 2 systems, ran them through human trials, and gained approval in Europe in 2011 and the U.S. in 2013 to sell their bionic eyes to eligible individuals. According to MIT Technology Review, around 350 people use Argus 2 today, but the company marketing the devices, Second Sight, has pivoted from artificial retinas to the brain itself because far more people, like Gomez, suffer from damage to their neural pathways between eyes and brain. Just last year, Second Sight was involved in research along with UCLA and Baylor, testing a system that also skips the retina and sends visual information straight to the brain. The system, called Orion, is similar to Argus 2. A feed from a video camera mounted on dark glasses is converted to electric impulses sent to an implant that simulates the brain. The device is wireless and includes a belt with a button to amplify dark objects in the sun or light objects in the dark. Like Fernandez's system, the user sees a low-resolution pattern of phosphenes they interpret as objects. "I'll see little white dots on a black background, like looking up at the stars at night," said Jason Esterhausen, who was the second research subject to receive the device. "As a person walks towards me, I might see 3 little dots. As they move closer to me, more and more dots light up." Though the research is promising, it's designated an FDA breakthrough device and is being trialed with 6 patients. Dr. Daniel Yosher, study leader and neurosurgeon, cautioned The Guardian last year that it's still a long way from what we hope to achieve. Brain inputs are far riskier than eye implants, and if the original Argus system is any indication, it may be several years before these new devices are used widely beyond research. Still, brain-machine interfaces, or BMIs, are quickly advancing on a number of fronts. The implant used in Fernandez's research is a fairly common device called a Utah array. The square array is a few millimeters wide and contains 100 electrode spikes, which are inserted into the brain. Each spike stimulates a few neurons. Similar implants have helped paralyzed folks control robotic arms and type messages with just their thoughts. Though they've been the source of several BMI breakthroughs, the arrays aren't perfect. The electrodes damage surrounding brain tissue. Scarring renders them useless all too quickly, and they only interact with a handful of neurons. The ideal device would be wireless, last decades in the brain, limiting the number of surgeries needed, and offer greater precision and resolution. Fernandez believes his implant can be modified to last decades, and while the current maximum resolution is 10 by 10 pixels, he envisions one day implanting as many as 6 on each side of the brain to deliver a resolution of at least 60 by 60 pixels. In addition, new technologies are in the works. Famously, Elon Musk's company Neuralink is developing soft, thread-like electrodes that are deftly laced into the brain tissue by a robot. Neuralink is aiming to include 3,000 electrodes on their device to chat up far more neurons than is currently possible, though it's not clear whether there's a limit to how many more neurons actually add value. Still other approaches that are likely further out do away with electrodes altogether, using light or chemicals to control gene-edited neurons. Fernandez's process also relies on more than just the hardware. The team used machine learning, for example, to write the software that translates visual information into neural code. This can be further refined, and in the coming years, as they work on the system as a whole, the components will no doubt improve in parallel. But how quickly it all comes together in a product for wider use isn't clear. Fernandez is quick to dial back expectations, pointing out that these are still early experiments and he doesn't want to get anyone's hopes up. Still, given the choice, Gomez said she'd have elected to keep the implant and wouldn't think twice about installing version 2. This is an exciting time in neuroscience and neurotechnology, and I feel that within my lifetime I can restore functional sight to the blind, Yosher said last year. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
It looks like we're another step closer to self-driving cars thanks to this short article from Apple Viz. Self-driving service app now available in the iOS App Store. The self-driving vehicle service owned by Google parent Alphabet wants to expand its user base. Waymo, Alphabet's self-driving car venture, announced that it has launched an app on the iOS App Store. The rollout of the iOS app comes exactly 1 year after the ride-hailing firm launched a public self-driving ride service in Phoenix, Arizona. iPhone users in Phoenix can use the Waymo app to be added to a wait list to use the service. Once accepted, users can request a ride in one of the company's self-driving Chrysler Pacifica minivans. Phoenix residents pulled off the wait list will be the first to be invited to join Waymo's Early Rider program. The company uses its Early Rider program to test new features, such as the ability to let riders play their own music through the car's speakers. Participants in the Early Rider program are asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Users can eventually move to the public arm of Waymo One, said Waymo Chief Product Officer Dan Chu. In the last year, we've accomplished a lot and learned even more, Chu wrote in a blog post. Through customer surveys and feedback, we hear a lot about what our riders expect from self-driving technology and how we can continue to improve our service to meet those expectations. In its announcement of the iOS app, Waymo shared some of its latest metrics. The self-driving car service said it has amassed roughly 1,500 monthly active riders, up from just a few hundred when the service was still in its infancy. Waymo said it has provided more than 10,000 rides since the early rider program launched in 2017. The Waymo app for Android devices was launched back in April. The company said it's made several improvements to the app over the past few months, including capabilities intended to simplify the ordering process and a feature that lets users honk the car's horn right from the app. Waymo says it will continue to focus mainly on expanding access to its driverless ride service. The company plans to eventually deploy its driverless vehicles in places other than Phoenix. Over time, we hope to make Waymo One available to even more members of the public as we add vehicles and drive in more places, Chu said. Self-driving technology is new to many. We're proceeding carefully with the comfort and convenience of our riders in mind. At first, Waymo-trained drivers will supervise our Waymo One vehicles. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
Microsoft has something new in the works called Project Tokyo that is designed to help visually impaired users see with a modified HoloLens. In an effort to provide assistance where it can, Microsoft in 2016 launched Project Tokyo, a partnership among researchers in the US, UK, China, Japan, and India to explore technologies that might help those with impairments interact with the world around them. 4 years later, it's borne fruit with a device a modified version of Microsoft's HoloLens augmented reality headset embedded with algorithms that provide info about people within the wearer's surroundings. According to a blog post published by Microsoft, the research group began by following athletes and spectators with varying levels of vision on a trip from the UK to the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Observing how they interacted with other people as they navigated airports, attended sporting venues, and went sightseeing, among other activities. Machine learning experts on the Project Tokyo team then developed the aforementioned algorithms, which run on graphical processing units housed in a PC connected to a HoloLens from which the front lenses have been removed. An LED strip affixed above the HoloLens's band of cameras tracks the person closest to the user and turns green when said person has been identified, in order to let the communication partner or bystanders know they've been seen or to cue them to move out of the device's field of view. One computer vision model detects the pose of people in the environment, providing a sense of where and how far away they are. Another analyzes footage from the headset's camera to recognize people and determine if they've opted to make their names known to the system. All of this information is relayed to the wearer through audio cues. For example, if the modified HoloLens detects a person 1 meter away on the user's left side, it'll play a click that sounds as though it's coming from roughly that distance to the left. If it recognizes a person's face, it'll play a bump sound. And if it spots a person that is known to the system, it'll announce their name. A separate second layer of sound resembling a stretching elastic band guides the user's gaze toward the person's face. When the HoloLens's camera focuses on the person's nose, the user hears a high-pitched click and, if the person is known to the system, their name. Users can alternatively ask for an overview and get a spatial readout of all the names of people who's given permission to be recognized by the system, and they're alerted with a specialized chime when someone's looking directly at them. Project Tokyo, which is still ongoing, follows on the heels of efforts like Microsoft's Seeing AI, a mobile app designed to help low and impaired vision users navigate the world around them. More recently, the company debuted Soundscape, a navigation app that uses binaural audio to help visually impaired users build mental maps and make personal route choices in unfamiliar spaces. Through AI for Accessibility, which was announced in May of 2018, Microsoft pledged $25 million over 5 years to universities, philanthropic organizations, and others developing AI tools for those with disabilities. The program aims to reward the most promising cohort of candidates in three categories: work, life, and human connections, with seed grants and follow-up financing each fiscal quarter. Run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to tune in next month. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.